And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzine with you on a Wednesday. A little warmer today, still cold and gray, Columbus, Ohio. The great Jody Shelley, Bally Sports Ohio, is with us. Jody, you're in Raleigh, North Carolina. It should be a little bit warmer there. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, you know what? Thanks for having me on. You're right. It is a tad warmer, but still winter is slightly in the air here in Carolina. So all is good. Ready for some hockey.
Are we talking like 40s, 50s?
Yeah, we're right in there, it feels like. I haven't checked, but it feels like 40. Like the sun is out, so there, we're already happy when right. You land. But no, it's, 40s, 50s here.
Yeah. So Blue Jackets, start the season like a ball of fire. It's been a tough go here now for several weeks, couple months now with that gap in between it for COVID. And tomorrow night, Thursday, the Blue Jackets play in Carolina, a team that, boy, gave it to them last time they played. Blue Jackets had a 4-0 lead, which kind of didn't feel like a 4-0 lead, and then it ended with a 7-4 loss, 7 unanswered by Carolina. Jody, your recollections on that game, and what is the psychology of a team? I don't think the Blue Jackets have had much success against these Hurricanes. And when you just are coming off a game like that, what's it like lining up to play them again pretty soon, but this time in their building?
Yeah, and I'll go back to what you started with the start this team had. You know, their schedule was pretty friendly early in the season. And if you remember, they had Arizona, Seattle, Detroit was their first loss.
Yeah.
And then they won against the Islanders, and then Carolina came in. And, you know, this team was kind of figuring out that, hey, if we play with speed, we keep it intense on pucks, we can play with anyone. They got confidence very early. But that Carolina 5-1 loss, you know, the comments out of the room, you could sense that the team, they were outmatched. And I say that with, you know, they just said, that's a really good team. And then they went on and played Dallas after that and beat them 4-1 and said, hey, if we had played the way we played against Dallas, against Carolina, we would have had a good shot. And you know, and after that, they continued to find and they set the bar of confidence and they played their game. And then you get Carolina again and you're hoping now, okay, as they walk into that game, like, okay, we learned our lesson from Dallas. There's been a lot of games played. And then Carolina comes in and you have a 4-goal lead early. And the key there was early because, you know, when things start to go on tilt in a hockey game, there's it or in anything, it's hard to stop it. And they didn't have the guns to stop it. And Carolina dialed it up. And unfortunately for the Blue Jackets, that's a tough loss because, you know, it just, you kind of look around after that and think, okay, like we blew it. Because really, you know, they really didn't blow it. I thought Carolina, you know, played their game after that. And the Blue Jackets needed to play perfect and get some bounces. But Carolina dialed it up and they did blow it and couldn't answer at all. So it's a little demoralizing. It's a tough loss. It's one of those things that you hate when things slip away. So the dynamic in the locker room after that would have been, you know, you would have been a little bit embarrassed about it because, to be honest with you, because you want things to go well. You're in your building, you know, as that goes. It's not a, you can't really say, I mean, you can say, I guess it's a lesson in some ways, which it is, but boy, there's a lot expected. And you gotta figure out quickly against those top teams. Which again, they saw Tampa just a short while after, you know, it's gotta be, you can't go into a game hoping to win. You can't go in, you know, kind of giving the edge to the other team mentally right away. And I kind of feel like that did that to them after that Carolina game for a little bit.
Yeah. And I think in the early days of the Blue Jackets, so it would have been, that would have been Colorado for you. That would have been Detroit for you.
Detroit, yeah. Nashville. Where, I mean, we never could beat Nashville.
Yeah, especially in Nashville. Yeah.
Oh, it was so. It was like, I don't know what it was, but I always say that Tim McGraw, I like it, I love it, I want some more of it. They played after every goal, and you heard it. How many? Yeah. I mean, you just like you never want to hear that song again because they just rang it up on us and. It's just, I don't know if it's a mental block. I don't know what it is. Maybe you have to credit the other team having confidence against your team too. You know, some teams just come in and match up well and feel good and players excel against some teams. And but when we went to Nashville, it just was one of those things. It was hanging over us all the time. And you could feel the coaches felt it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It was never talked about, but the game plan was in place, but you kind of feel like, okay, like we got to be perfect and get some really good breaks to win this one.
I remember after a particularly ugly one in Nashville, Barry Trotz was doing his post game back when coaches used to do it in the hallway. Remember those days?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And the song started playing in the arena, the Tim McGraw and Trotz saying, did we just score again?
Yeah.
Like a guy who was really feeling it and having some fun at the expense of, they were pretty good rivalries, pretty good rival back in the day of Columbus and the start of the two franchises. What do you think the leadership is going through in that room? Boone Jenner specifically, but, and this is a guy who he's not exactly new to things. I think he was part of what you would call leadership anyways, through example, which is probably what he still gets it done today with a C on his chest. But a lot of these guys have been elevated. They were sort of second tier leaders in previous years, and now you've taken, and they meant to do this. This isn't a surprise to anybody, but they took Jones, Savard, Foligno, the captain, Cam Atkinson out of the room. And so that next tier now has it on them. What do you think's being said? Do you think players are challenging players? Do you think certain veterans are getting called out or calling others out? Or is this, where do you think it stands? Because we're still early in the season. There's still about 48 games or so to go. How do you think the leaders, the new leaders here in Columbus might be handling this?
You know, I think about this quite a bit. And I wonder, one leader that you missed was John Tortorella. And, you know, Brad Larson is a wonderful coach and he's doing great things. And he's in a wonderful spot and he's doing a great things with the challenge he has. But listen, Torts was the leader. I mean, Torts had his non-negotiables and elevated players because of that. I think of Bjorkstrand right away. And I think that really was cut and dry for the leadership group. And I think in this instance, Boone has more, I wouldn't call it responsibility, but maybe more say on how things go and kind of feel on how things are. And to me, Boone Jenner is, you know, obviously we know how special of a person he is. I mean, I think his personality is displayed on the way his effort is put in every single night. He's a guy that every team would love to have. But thinking about how it is for him right now, I would think he'd be leaning on guys like Nyquist, Werenski, probably Brad Larson quite a bit, some of the assistant coaches, because there's a lot of different dynamics in that locker room. And, you know, there's no more critical time for leadership to step up than in the moment when people are doubting themselves, and maybe your team is doubting some things after losses. That's just the reality of it. So, you know, I think he's handling it well, but I wonder what his dynamic is. And I would guess, knowing Boone, he's probably not spending too much time complaining, more time helping and leading by example. I think that that is what you have to do when you have an 18-year-old in Cole Sillinger, who to me is probably the most mature 18-year-old I have ever spent time around with, just from his comments, his, the way he sees himself, the way he sees what's happening, you know, how he answers some of the questions I've got to ask him. You know, there's a way to lead that I think Boone is showing. And it's, listen, last night in the game, he gets that goal. He almost gets a couple more. Go to the net hard, back check hard, block shots, and hopefully other guys figure out. I think there might be a little bit of calling out. I think when Jake Voracek got into this locker room, I think he's a valuable guy. And I strictly in game where, you know what, how long can you go and get pucks and make plays and fight to do things and then give a puck up to a player who's not quite ready or maybe not that engaged? You know, Jake's not a guy to get back to the bench and not say something. So, or maybe if it's even a look. So those little things are valuable because, you know, you're playing a game last night in Chicago against Chicago. You have a chance to win. You feel like you should win. You're pushing with momentum, and then leadership is going out. And I thought there was a few guys in that roster, Voracek, Nyquist, and Jenner, who were going for it. And then there was a couple guys who were, you know, maybe, and when you're going through it and struggling, maybe like Domi and Roslovic and Laine and who am I missing? Oh, Bemstrom. You're thinking too much. You know, you're working on things after practice. You're watching video. And you're thinking too much, and now you're in the game, and it's taking away from what you're good at. And I think that's the value of the leadership, though, Porty, is, you know, it's those moments in game. It's the showing the frustration. It's pushing yourself more. And I think it's a lot of by example. And I think two guys that jump out, or three guys, as I mentioned, were those three veterans. And I thought that they tried to will their team back into that last night. But, you know, again, it's just things happen quick, and it gets away from you. But, you know, we just traveled here with them. They seem positive. It's a young group. You know, they enjoy each other. And that's what I love about Jake away from the rink. But on the ice, it's very demanding of what he expects. And he's also very cognizant of players and what they might not like, or how they like things getting addressed. So those are all very valuable things right now for this team now. And, hey, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, when these pieces should be growing and there should be additions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let me stick with Voracek if I could for a second. This is still a young franchise. It's 20 years, 21 years. So they haven't had many nights like that to celebrate the other night when he was honored for his 1,000th game. How cool was that? Just to witness that. I like those nights in the arena because it feels like this city is starting to grow a little bit as a hockey town. To have that moment of a kid that was drafted by Columbus, you were part of it, weighing in on what it was. You were his teammate in two places, I believe.
I didn't play with him here. I was here in camp.
You missed him by a year. Okay.
Yeah, I missed him by a year, but I did play with him in Philly, and that was a I'm glad I got to do that because, you know, he was – Yager was there and Jake was, you know, not finding his way but growing. And boy, that to watch that impact of having Yager and some great veteran players and young Giroux, it was very interesting to see his development. And, yeah, those nights at Nationwide Arena, I mean, it was – you know, for Jake, the appreciation he wanted out of Philly, he gets back here. He, you know, you could tell right away he was excited about the group. He loves the city, and he gets the fan base. And the fan base from afar, I think, really smile when they think about Jake Voracek.
That's right.
You love watching him on the ice. So, it, yeah, those are great nights. And for it to all happen back here was spectacular. And you could tell his teammates. I mean, every time, anytime you bring up his name, the comment coming back starts first with a smile. And I think we That's all right. do that because he's that type of guy.
Yeah, he's that kind of guy. So here's a theory I had, and I've had for a while now, the last 4 or 5 years, and it came back to me last night because last night was really – they've had some stinkers this year, the Blue Jackets have, but last night was really one of the first games this season to me that just felt like a totally flat night for both teams. Just not very good hockey being played. You guys would have had a tough job last night describing the action, I'm guessing, because it was kind of all over the place at times.
Well, we kind of had fun, actually. It was, I don't know why, but we had a fun night. But yeah, it was those happened. I think I know where you're going here.
Well, so, and I got to be careful here because it's easy for guys who don't fight to talk glowingly and romantically about a time when they did, and we know the impact that fighting has had on some people's lives. I don't want to diminish any of that. I don't want to say the league, because I know it's not going back to that, nor should it. But I feel like when nights, like games like that happened 10 years ago, something would have happened fight-wise, hit-wise, physical-wise, probably late first period or early second, and the dial would have been turned up a bit. Mm-hmm. And there would have been some energy in the game. And I don't remember, again, maybe this is me just getting, I hate to say it, older and more cynical. I don't remember so many games. And it feels like there's 6, 8, 10 a year now where you're like, oh, God, that was just brutal for both teams. It's not about who wins or loses. And I don't remember thinking that often years ago. And I wonder if the game hasn't learned how to find something to latch onto in terms of excitement when it used to rely on that. And you're a guy, obviously, who did that a lot. And you would have probably, am I right, read the tea leaves last night and said, this fucking game is terrible. Let's go.
Well, you're looking for emotion, right? You're looking, if I'm a fan, and I thought I did this quite often in my careers. You have to have a temperature of the building and your fans especially and how they're feeling and then how the other team feels. Like, are they comfortable? You know, do they think this is going to be one of those easy nights? And if I'm sitting there, do I want a little pushback from my team? Like, this is my team. Go show me. Go show my fans. And if I'm the guy sitting there and with my family, I want to get behind the team that jumps out with that emotion and shows the pushback. And I think you're right. We're not seeing that from many teams in the National Hockey League. And, you know, there's some great games where it's up and back.
100%.
And you see the display of speed and young talent, and it's tremendous. But I like the big hit. I like the bumping into the goaltender. I like the guys saying, hey, you know, we saw, you know, whatever happened in a game. You know, he had the Murphy Domi incident, you know, and there was some words said after last year. But, you know, that went nowhere. And right. So – I agree with you. It's not necessarily the fight. I would have had a fight last night. I would have went and got our crowd going, and that's just what we would have done. It was expected. I felt like it was a responsibility of mine. And, you know, especially on the bench. Now I'm between the benches down there at my broadcast position, and I'm thinking, like, you know, you see guys with that stare, like, okay, another frustrating shift. Okay, how do we get this going? How do we stop momentum? You know, you just go out and drop the gloves and you go to the box and you come back and the bench is like, way to go. Thank you. You know, and it's not thank you, but like, we're going now.
Yeah, so respect.
For me, it's the emotion of the game. It's just something that exactly on a night like that, and you've been around long enough to see it and feel it happen from the past, and you leave the building and say, hey, you know what? After that fight, things got sparked, and you've heard coaches say it, and there's naysayers that say, oh, I don't buy into it, but hey, it's an emotional game, and it doesn't matter. You saw the Boqvist brothers playing the other night. It goes back to pond hockey. It goes back to growing up playing hockey. If you're with your schoolyard buddies or your brother, whatever it is, if you're going against each other, and it's, you know, you've been out there for a couple hours and you've lost the previous two games. Well, guess what? Someone's going to be whining about getting slashed or pushed into the snow, or, you know, you bumped into the goal. It just always boils over, but there's no boil over right now. And it's just not part of it. And, it's, you know, some teams have it. There's some teams that have that intimidating presence, and right now there's more teams that don't.
Yeah, like I thought there would be something coming out of the Bemstrom hit late, which I don't think he meant to do, but it didn't look good. and years ago, that would have been, oh God, woe be.
That would have been your cue, right?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. That would have been your cue. And no, that's a good point. It was quite calm and respectful after that. I mean, it's almost like, let's not let this get silly mentality after those things, which I understand it. But I think if I was in that situation, I think that, there would have been a few fireworks, I'd say.
Yeah. And it's too simplistic of me, but too, the fans walked out of the building years ago. The games we're talking about, you could play a shitty game, but there would be. Shelley had a fight, huge hit by Tyler Wright. Grant Marshall had to go. there would be, and this is maybe too simplistic, but there would have been outward signs to the fan base that the guys care. And I'm not saying that these guys don't care, but you got to look for it. And like you mentioned, Nyquist, you see his performance last night. That guy was going. Boone's always going. Sillinger was going. But there, I don't think he left the building last night thinking, boy, the Blue Jackets left everything they had on the ice last night or tonight and couldn't get a win. And I don't remember having that feeling many years ago. And I don't think it's just the fighting, but it is that too at times.
You know, the advantage of being down at ice level is you see how hard they're working, but you also see the moments where you're expected to win a puck battle or get on the forecheck or be the first one to go in to throw the hit. Or get on the puck. And, you know, I agree with you. I think as a fan, that's what you want to see. You want to see that bite of the game, just the bite, you know, especially in Columbus, Ohio, where, you know, there's a blue collar fan base here. That's a big part of, hey, you know, this is, you know, and it used to be, and it still is, that hardworking team, so well conditioned, won't go away. And beginning of the year the compliment was that this team was annoying. And that annoying presence was just always in your face on the back check, always there in the forecheck, never out of a battle. And you look at that game last night, and that's where you're finding room for, okay, well, how about a little emotion? You know, that's when that really rears its head.
Yeah. What did you make of the Gregory Hoffman decision to stay in Switzerland? That was a kind of a surprise to the Blue Jackets from what I can gather. You don't see that much.
No, that's very surprising, you know, and he's a guy that's never been over here. He spent a decade or more over there in the Swiss League. And, you know, he just kind of pulled up his pegs. And I don't know the reasoning. It sounds like everyone's healthy. So that's the first thing I thought of.
Exactly.
Maybe it was a family concern. But if it's a hockey decision, I mean, if I'm in the locker room, I'm probably a little disappointed that, you know, he couldn't stick it out with the team. But everyone's got their own reasons for their own things. And if that's what it is, you know, that's his decision. That's fine. It's, you know, you hope you get a guy that comes over that wants to be part of the team for the season and part of the playoff run. You know, that's really what you try to build your team around. And he had enough, is what it seems like. But if there's something more, you know, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that, you know, I hope everything's fine with him and everything is, you know, the way he wants it to be. But it is, I was very surprised. It didn't make sense to me, but maybe there's more to it, Porter. You would probably know more than me.
Well, that's the first question is, like, before you you know, leap to any conclusions. Is everyone okay?
Right.
Yeah, his agent said there's nothing. This is nothing to do with health, and the Blue Jackets have said that privately as well. Everything's healthy. The baby was born. She's wonderful. But yeah, and I've spoken to Blue Jackets teammates of his that are pretty kind of disappointed, actually, because I mean, it's a tough spot he's in. I get it. You're newborn, and your wife are half a world away. Not easy, but a lot of guys have gone through this, and maybe provisions could have made so that it wasn't done this way. But the flip side of that too is, and I love he seems like a great guy. He seemed like a really nice guy, and the kind of guy you root for, who's had a long time NHL dream.
Mm-hmm.
But if I think about this in terms of the Blue Jackets, this is a 29-year-old forward who was probably a plus third line guy if things worked out, maybe a second liner in the right situation. So with all of these forwards coming, and they've got too many forwards as it is with more on the way, I don't know that it's really – I don't think it's that damaging. But if you listen to Jarmo Kekalainen, you listen to Brad Larsen, they saw something there. They liked – they love the wheels, of course. Coaches and GM love the wheels. But, you know, they had high hopes for him still, given the way the first few months went here.
Yeah. Well, that's disappointing, you know. I mean
– it is.
I am of the school of you sign up to do something, you see it through. And you know, that's kind of what I would get from the disappointment from his teammates. And, you know, it's a situation where I guess if you think you can just leave, that's too bad. And especially when you have a team or players that have not made the team because you got that spot and now you're, you know, you make that decision. So I can see where the disappointment lies, but if you're going to sign up for it, you should see it through to the end.
I would think. So we went on Twitter, Jody, and asked if people.
Oh fire boy, right, why would you do something like that?
If they had any if they had any questions. There's a beauty here. I'm going to save it to the last one.
We got three
of them here. I'll start with this one from Ali M. From Ali Spatch at Ali Spatch. Doing TV talk down at ice level where the players are, does it make you miss playing?
No, not at all. Not at all. Right? Now, there's some moments where I'd like to jump out there for a two-second shift, but and maybe just to drop the gloves and get things going. But no, not at all. It's so fun down there. It's so fun to see the players, the speed of the game. You get to see the other opposition. You know, the refs still come and say hi. So there's a lot of great things about it, but do not miss playing one bit to answer that question.
That's so awesome because that means you retired at the right time.
Oh, I did. 37. I was good.
That's perfect. This question from Andrew Zeminski at Andrew_Zeminski. It's very brief and to the point. Do fighters make good golfers?
Not this one. No, I would say I don't know many. Jared Bohl is about the same as me, maybe a little better. Not that I know of. No, I don't think many of us are very good golfers, but I could be wrong. But the ones I know, not. More of the, like, Ray Whitney, he was a good golfer.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Jake Bean is a really good golfer.
Is he?
I think he's a +1 handicap or something like that. Yeah, he's elite. So Wisniewski, you know, he's that defenseman with a good shot. He's got that. He's really good. So the answer to that question, no. Absolutely not.
Now, your game, you're big off the tee, from what I understand.
Big and crooked.
Okay.
Big and crooked, just like my nose.
Been there. It's the short game that drives you crazy. Mm-hmm. And here's the best one. This is from Jessica Watson. Jessica Watson, too. Can't even say it with a straight face. Thoughts on Kodiak Black and if we should invite him to a Jackets game. Now, are you familiar with the story?
Yes. I'm going to answer no, definitely not. And
we got some long weeks ahead of us, Jody.
No, that is. I'm not touching that one.
Wow.
I mean, what was her question? Should we have him at a Blue Jackets game?
Should we invite him to a Jackets game? Yeah. Right. You know, George Richards, who covered the Blue Jackets he runs his own site down in Florida. He used to work at The Athletic as well. I talked to him last night, said he had as many hits on his site in 1 hour after that story went up than he's ever had in a day, a full day.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't know who that guy was.
I'd never heard of Kodiak.
No, yeah. But
yeah. What a highlight. What a highlight.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Jody, you're doing radio tomorrow night.
That's right. Me and Bob McGilligan will be on 105.7 tomorrow night. You know, it's ESPN game. So for our local listeners, we hope you tune in and catch me and Bob. We always have fun on the radio. So I'm looking forward to it. Radio is a lot different. It's a lot more painting the picture, describing what's happened to our fans. And it's fun. And Bob does a great job. He's fun. He's not too serious in his approach. He makes a good call. And we worked together in the past. So look forward to it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for joining us, as always. Thanks for taking questions.
My pleasure. I appreciate being on. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you soon. Folks, thanks for listening to Front and Nationwide. It's always a pleasure to be with you. We'll be back with you next week and look forward to talking to you then. Take care.